Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of July 30th, 2019. And this is episode number 402. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And it is Halloween in July. What do you mean by that? Well, usually people say Christmas in July. Well, I'm saying Halloween in July because tonight we've got some actual ghost stories that we're going to talk about. Not ghost stories like sitting around the campfire ghost stories, but there's actually ghost stories in the paranormal news this week. And I was flabbergasted because I've not seen anything about ghosts in months on the paranormal news. So I was a little excited about that. And just when I thought I had a lot of ghost stuff, I got some emails from A&E. So we're going to talk tonight. I'm going to give you a little breakdown about one of the new episodes in their upcoming season. I got a press release, a little sneak peek behind an episode. I was pretty excited about that. Not my favorite show in the world, but I'll tell you, I do it for you guys. I do this feverish work to watch a 45-minute episode of a show that I'm not actually a big fan of, but I do it for you guys. So I can tell you yay or nay and give you the highs and lows of that. And we'll also talk about their adversaries. Yes, the Ghost Adventure guys. And Zach Bagans himself has been in the news. We'll talk about him and his tossing his money around for Grizzly History. And we'll also talk about the Ghost Adventurers themselves as they speak of the future. And we'll also talk about a true paranormal lockdown that happened very recently, and we'll also talk, I know a lot of people don't like this, but we're going to talk about him anyway. The Loch Ness Monster surfaces two more times. He's here. He's going to set a record. I just feel it. And we got a little bit of UFO stuff. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about the UFO zaniness that's happening. It's supposed to happen in September. We're going to avoid that story this week. I'm just tired of talking about it. We'll see what happens next week. I need a week off from that story. I really do. I'm tired of talking about it. I don't know about you guys. Yes, it's reached 2 million people, just over 2 million that have stated that they're going. We'll see. I know there's quite a few people that have already bought plane tickets and have actually, the hotel is, local hotels are booked. So we'll see. Just under 1.5 are interested, I think, and over 2 million are declaring that they're going. Well, we'll see. I don't think that many people will show up. I give it 1% of that. There'll be 50 crazy people running around, maybe. Maybe. But again, we've got time. I will talk about it later. Not this week. I'm kind of a little drained on that story. It's still going to end up being one of the biggest stories of the year. And as you guys know, who have been following this show for a while, I do a top 10 paranormal news story countdown at the end of the year. And that one is starting to move its way up. And it really depends on what happens on September 20th that either puts an exclamation point, a question mark, or something else. I don't know what else could go with it. Maybe dollar sign? We've already seen that already. To this story to see whether or not it's going to end up making the cut. Either way, it's probably one of the biggest UFO stories of the year inadvertently. So, bigger than Loch Ness. Literally. And speaking of that, I want to check this real quick. I'll let you guys know what I see. Oh, no. Poor guy. So remember last week I talked about the storm, the Bermuda Triangle. It can't swallow all of us. And to me it was a little confusing of a story because they said a bunch of stuff on Facebook and then they started a GoFundMe page. And it's kind of saying different things here. Well, last week they had a whopping $140 raised of the $175,000 goal Oh no, I think it was it $20? $120. So yeah, it was $120. Well, now they have $140. So somebody somewhere along the way gave them a 20. The last 4 days, there's a $20 bill in there. So I don't know about that one. I don't know how that one's going to take off. Big old party in Miami, if you're interested, on October 1st. I don't know if it's going to take off, though, with $140 down. I don't know how closely I'm going to be following that story at all, if ever. Yeah, probably not. Anyway, I want to talk about Paranormal Couches conventions. So July is officially over as far as we're concerned here for the show. I know it's only July 30th. My gosh, it's August. What happened? I don't know what happened this year. It just seems like it went by awful fast. It's almost fall already. Good grief. Well, we could take a little bit of a break from the heat. And I'm sure my European listeners completely agree to that as well. Well, looking at the August calendar for the ghost events, we have the Kansas City Paracon coming up on August 9th and 10th in Kansas City, Missouri. It's going to be hot there, I'm sure. The 10th Annual Michigan Paranormal Convention, August 22nd through the 24th in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. It's always a mouthful for that place. UFO events, I only got one on the list, and it's here in Ohio, the 2019 Ohio MUFON Conference in Belleville, Ohio on August 17th. And in cryptozoology, we've got a handful. We've got the 4th Annual UP Bigfoot Conference up there in the, well, that's the UP is the Upper Peninsula up there in Michigan. August 10th in Munising, Michigan. No idea where that's at. I'm trying to think. Munising, Michigan. And it's up there on the Upper Peninsula. Then also the Oregon Bigfoot Festival 2019 in Troutdale, Oregon on August 17th. August 30th is the International Bigfoot Conference and Film Festival in Kennewick, Washington. And that's my August events coming up. Not a whole lot. I guess they're, it's kind of in the lull of the summer. Seems like June, July are usually packed. April through July is usually packed. And then August, September kind of slows down. And then, of course, we get slammed for October. Every weekend, there's at least two events somewhere going on for Paranormal Conferences conventions. And then it seems like November is starting to get a little carried away as well. And not a whole lot of events, but I'm sure there's a lot out there that I've missed. I checked my email before I came on the show just to make sure that nothing else has been reported. And if you know of any conference convention out there that I missed that is taking place anywhere, I don't care where. I usually do North America, which includes Canada, United States, and I never really see anything from Mexico. I'm willing to put it on there if there is one. I've never seen one, but I'm willing to do it, willing to put it on the map here. Yeah, let me know. You can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com. You can find me on Facebook, Paranews Insider. You can contact me on Twitter, @ParanewsInsider. And my goodness, also regular social media. Anyway you can. I'm also in the chat room. Where are you? You're not in the chat room. I know who you are. You're listening. You're not in the chat room. Any in Las Vegas? You know, they used to do, somebody did an event. There was a ghost convention, a conference in, oh yeah, there is. Okay, there is a Shockfest Paracolticon taking place November 22nd through the 24th in Las Vegas. Now, that's a kind of event. I talked to the promoter, and normally I don't put those on. It's kind of a, he's doing a lot of movies though. So I kind of said, you know what? I'm going to make an exception. I usually don't do the scare cons, the horror, gaming, the anime based stuff. I really steer clear of that because it's a whole different genre. Even if they do, because usually they have one or two paracelebs that are on a TV show or two, and I just kind of sidestep that because they're just additional people to get people in the door. It's not about a paranormal convention, but this upcoming Shockfest Paracolticon, that sounds interesting from what I saw, and I went ahead and gave it the green light. So that's taking place in Vegas. It's a decent time of the year. And then another question. Am I going November 17th? Where am I going? Am I going somewhere? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know where I'm going. Going somewhere, maybe? I don't know. Going crazy. Pretty sure about that. The Ohio MUFON conference, probably. In Belleville? Probably not. Probably made a few enemies in MUFON. Threw some of my stories here, but that's okay. I'm not even a MUFON member anymore, so probably wouldn't be welcomed. Anyway, that's your conference breakdown. And again, you know, I really rely on you guys, the listeners. I do get a lot of promoters that email me and talk to me about these things. It's fantastic. And, you know, I put these on the website, and I'll tell you, that part of the website gets hit on the most. It's like that really buff, older, sexy guy with long hair. It gets hit on a lot. Not like the other pages, which are just skinny, scrawny, little skinny guys that don't do legs or arms workouts stuff. I don't know where I'm going with this, but sounds good. So I do try to give back with these conferences, conventions. I don't charge or anything like that. I just put these out there for people to advertise, basically, these events. I keep it simple. I keep it clean. I don't use banners or anything. It's just a link in text. I keep it simple so that people can find these things. And I talk about them on this show. And this show reaches quite a few sets of ears out there all across the world. Yes, I'm worldwide. Worldwide. Try to reach as many people as I can and talk about this paranormal stuff. And eventually, one day, yes, I'd like to do worldwide conventions and talk about all that stuff. It's quite a bit. It's hard enough keeping track of the stuff happening here in the States. So, again, if you know of any conference or convention I didn't talk about, sometimes I don't list them because they're kind of a question as to whether or not they're actually going to take place, or I've heard some rumors, or the website's not up, or, you know, there's different reasons. Sometimes I don't pull the trigger on putting it on the website. Sometimes I just forget to put them on there. So if they're going on, and I know there's a lot coming up in December, November, December that people are talking about, hopefully I'll remember to get some of those up. There's been a couple of announcements recently. I did talk about one. Was it last week, the week before? One going on. Oh, heck. No, I can't find it. Oh, no. It's got to be in here somewhere. It's right near the Shockfest. So the Western Pennsylvania Conference on the Unexplained was recently announced, I think about a week ago, taking place in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, November 9th and 10th. I've spoken in, I don't know if it was the same conference, but a similar conference, talking about unexplained stuff for a few times. It's really interesting. It's a little bit different than your typical paranormal stuff, but really interesting conversation. So if you're in Western Pennsylvania, it's worth it. It's a really good event. Eric Altman's going to be there. Ron Murphy's going to be there. I can't remember beyond that, but those two worth the ticket admission. I'm telling you, both of those guys worth it right there. That's it. So yeah, I got a lot more events on the page. I'm already getting people soliciting for next year, 2020 events. Folks, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not even ready for August. So I'm slowly getting a list. I think about five or six already that are taking place next year. It's crazy. So anyway, yes, you can email me. You can get a hold of me through social media, through my website, paranewsinsider.com. There's a contact page right there. I get that email pretty much instantaneously, unless you're trying to spam me, then it goes right into a junk folder. So yes, Australians are tuning in. And yes, we are wondering. We want, since we have the collective here, we want to know if anyone out there, and this is an SOS, if anyone out there has seen one of our longest listeners of the show that's still around, still interested in the paranormal, and I think likes to listen to the show. I don't know. We haven't seen her in a while. So anyone out there has seen Dita, let her know that we miss her in the chat room. I know she's listening. She's probably on delay of a day or two working in the garden. But we do miss you. And what else we got? Alligator reports. I haven't heard any alligator reports, but I haven't really looked at any. I'm sure there's a few. I'm going to gamble. And I'm not a gambling man. I'm not a betting man. But I'm telling you, it's almost August. We're going to have a big snake. We're going to have another big alligator story in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Mark my words. It's going to happen. We're going to have another alligator slash large snake. Something like that is going to happen. It's got to happen. I just know it. But anyway, let's get into this week's news. Yes, we're going to go to Scotland and talk about the Loch Ness Monster. Well, you know, it's been quiet for a while. We got a little break from the Loch Ness Monster. Personally, I'm not a huge fan. Let me back up. I'm a huge fan of the fact that people get all excited about this thing, even if it's more than likely probably not real. I just think it's really cool that no matter how many stories come out, no matter how many times that it's pretty much debunked. I mean, the whole story in itself was pretty much debunked a few years ago from documents that stated that basically innkeepers back in the 1930s got together and said, hey, let's use this urban legend to get people to come out here. That should really squash that story because that's really when it took off. But, you know, it perpetuates. And I respect that. I think that's really cool that this story continues to live on, even if every sighting that happens is completely explainable. But who knows? Eventually, maybe something really big will happen, and I'll look silly. I hope to look forward to, well, I look silly all the time. But, you know, I kind of look forward to that day that maybe something is discovered out there. But until then, we can enjoy stories like this. Yes, the tourists in general, it's not always just American tourists. There's the story here as an Irish tourist. I can't remember where the other guys, I think the other guy's from England. So, you know, their own people are saying stuff, not just those crazy Americans that see, we see monsters in carpets and walls. We see them everywhere. Anyway, the Loch Ness Monster, it's been quiet for a little while. Well, that is, of course, we talked about last week's story about the people piggybacking on the Storm Area 51 viral story. I mean, who wasn't at this point? Well, now the creature of Scotland has been logged, no pun intended, a few sightings to push it to a total of a dozen sightings on the year. Well, at least according to the monster's official log keeper. Ba-dum-bumps, or should I say record keeper? I like log keeper because that's kind of ironic since some of these sightings are probably logs. Anyway, you know, my humor is so dry. And you wonder how dry is it that I probably just drained Loch Ness. Anyway, these latest sightings are the third and fourth purported sightings of the creature for the month of July. And again, that's according to Gary Campbell, who's the keeper of the Register of Sightings at LochNessSightings.com. So it's his baby. He's the guy that sells the t-shirts. Back on July 13th, Tracy Power, who is from Northern Ireland, was aboard a tourist boat when she took a photograph of the water. And this is one of those that I really get, I don't want to say upset about, but I don't really buy into these. So she didn't see the creature when she took the picture, but she says she noticed something odd in her photos when she got home. I mean, really, to me, that means that nothing's really in the photo. If you see the photo of this, and I've only seen like low resolution images of this, so I've not seen anything really good. And when I zoom in, obviously, it's super, super pixelated. But it, to me, it looks like a boat. And I don't know, something else in the water, but it doesn't look like a monster or a creature or anything like that. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's a Loch Ness Monster. And the problem with these types of photographs is that people forget what they saw, because I obviously experienced more than just that moment since that time. And I think what happens is their memory fails them on what was around them. So, you know, unless there's other photos taken pretty close to that time that don't show anything, or, you know, in that same exact direction, and then I got to wonder, you know, was there anything else in that frame or in that area at the time that could logically explain that photograph? If you just took one random photograph and say, well, you know, I don't remember seeing anything, or I didn't see anything at the time. To me, you know, that's the kind of evidence I just tossed in the trash can. I don't even look at that, because you don't know if you don't know what was there, how do you say it was the Loch Ness Monster? Could have been a boat. Could have been a surfer. Could have been a pterodactyl. Could have been, I don't know. Could have been a bald eagle. Okay, probably not the last three things I said, but who knows what it could have been. Could have been a surfing squirrel for all we know, or sea otter. We don't know. But it really, to me, looked like a boat. So the latest incident, that was something that happened July 13th. So the latest incident occurred on July 25th when Richard Cobb, that sounds American, Richard Cobb was watching the lock from a lodge high above Loch Ness. He saw what he states was something breaking the water's surface. He took a photograph during the minute-long break of the surface of the calm lock. Unfortunately, again, the photograph shows very little detail, and it's taken way far away, and it's not clear if anything is actually above the surface, or I don't see anything sticking out. It's kind of hard to tell at the distance. And, you know, it could just be the wind hitting the water. I hate to sound skeptical like that, but you can't really tell. You're so far away. It could even be a boat. We just don't see it. It could be small. This type of wind action happens a lot along Loch Ness. And I've seen dozens of photographs of this. I've seen people shooting video who have seen this. And, you know, it's not Loch Ness. They know. It's just the wind. They're close enough to see. There's nothing above the water. And they can feel the wind. And people are fooled by this all the time. And the reason for this is, so Loch Ness is a long and thin body of water, and it's surrounded by tall areas of land at a lot of points. So this creates kind of weird wind that goes through that area and creates this odd-looking movement of the water along the surface as well. So sometimes this is a trick of the mind, trick of the eye. And you would think that someone who's not used to it, which is probably 95% of the people that visit Loch Ness, they probably generally assume it's some sort of prehistoric monster. Yeah. But so question in the chat room. So Loch Ness is not trademarked. Well, Loch Ness is the actual name of the loch. And there's dozens of lochs. I think there's 30-some-odd lochs, I think. That have purported monsters in them, but we only hear about the Loch Ness Monster. But I don't know about Loch Ness Monster itself, if somebody's copyrighted that or trademarked it. I wonder if it's too late. Maybe I'll do it tonight. I'll put on shirts, charge people for using my trademark. Can't say the Loch Ness Monster, or I get 25 cents. You could say it, but I get 25 cents. I don't think that's going to go over very well. Anyway, let's move to UFO news. And this is a story that came out just prior to the show going on the air. I didn't really have a whole lot of time to disseminate it. I was going to talk about it, just kind of mention it, but I don't think I did. I don't know. I can't remember what happened yesterday, let alone what happened last Tuesday, but I don't think I did. I know I had the story pulled up on one of my tabs in here, but I don't think I talked about it. It was kind of a late-breaking story, and it was nothing major, and I figured, yeah, it's just going to go away anyway, which it pretty much did. But this was there was some panic in Australia last week. So, yeah, we're talking a lot about Australia. It's pretty cool. A lot of people thought they were under attack by aliens. They're coming to get us. You know, there's no reason why they can't go to the outback. I mean, mean, not the restaurant. Not the restaurant, but, you know, Australia. You know, the United States isn't the center of the world. You know, we always think that it's going to land in the White House lawn. Sometimes I wish it would. But we're not the center of the galaxy, the universe, or even Earth. So anyway, yes, panic. They thought we were being attacked. Hundreds of people, hundreds of people reported lights in the sky over Queensland and the Northern Territories a week ago Monday. Shauna Royas was one of the witnesses who told local news outlet ABC Northwest, quote, "It was quite a bright, unusual light with a tail on it. It was traveling northeast and we watched it for probably 2 or 3 minutes before it faded out. We had no idea what it was. It was really unusual," unquote. Ugh, yeah, and yes, we'll talk about the Zach Bagans demon house. It's one of my stories. Anyway, Royas had taken a picture of the light in the sky with its tail, and ABC Northwest shared it on their Facebook page, which prompted many others to come forward with their own sightings. And experts quickly jumped in on this story and dismissed it as not being a meteor. Some people thought this was a meteor, but said it had characteristics of a rocket. And based on the images, as well as the trajectory of the object, it was determined that it was India's Chandrayaan-2. It was a rocket from India. And what are they doing? What are they shooting up in the sky? Well, for now, the orbiter is actually using the Earth to gain further orbit. So it's circling around us, getting a little further and further away from the Earth. And eventually, I think in a couple of weeks, it's going to leap toward the moon. And it will be captured in the moon's orbit. And then sometime in September, the module is going to land on the moon to conduct various experiments while the orbiter itself, so they're going to have a lunar lander, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. The lander and then the orbiter will continue to circle the moon in orbit. India, at that point, will then be the fourth country to land on the moon. So the USSR, the United States, and China have already infiltrated the moon. There's a bunch of kids up there, too, isn't there? I heard that story once or twice. Anyway, they're going to map the moon, which is pretty cool. I thought we already had that. Don't we already have that on Google? I'm not sure. Hey, Google. Is there a map of the moon? Well, it says, yes. NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter Science Team released the highest resolution of near global blah, 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 blah. Thanks, Google. Appreciate you. Comes in handy every now and again. I don't know. What does the moon have? Well, I do know they're going to be looking at the South Pole, where there's purportedly ice down there. So maybe we can steal their water. Steal the water off the moon? It's got to be some money up there. It's got to be something. I don't know. We got to have something we can pillage up there. I'm sure. What are we not? Isn't it that no one's allowed to claim ownership of the moon? Something like that. I don't know. People are going to be building huts up there and living up there. And I can imagine in the next 20, 30 years, there's going to be some kind of billboard up there. I'm surprised that nobody's done this yet. Maybe Bud Light will do it if they free the aliens. Not just Bud Light for the aliens, but they're probably going to put like a big Bud Light symbol up there in the moon. I don't know. I don't know. It's only a matter of time till we're staring up at the moon and we see advertisements up there. It's just a matter of time. Anyway, speaking of craziness, zaniness, and money, Tom DeLonge and the To the Stars Academy is back in the news this week. Whoa, what a segue. That was kind of mean. Wow. Well, anyway, Tom DeLonge and the To the Stars Academy is back in the news this week with a story that I don't know why. They're talking about like this is new, but it's not new. We've known this for like, I think, 2-3 years now, right? Am I just crazy? Well, I know I'm crazy. Am I imagining this? I could have swore we've talked about this before. The To the Stars Academy messaged out on July 25th. They said, quote, and I'm not going to shout this, but this is all in all caps, this first part. Exotic materials from unidentified vehicles acquired. And it goes back to regular font. By the at To the Stars Academy. The structure and composition of these materials are not from any known existing military or commercial application, says Steve Justice, current head of technology and aerospace at the To the Stars Academy and former head of advanced systems at Lockheed Martin's Skunk Works. We currently have multiple material samples being analyzed by contracted laboratories and have plans to extend the scope of this study, unquote. But again, I could have swore we've known about this for a while. Wasn't it one of their videos they had like last year, the year before, talking about this great new thing that they had going? I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. Yeah, to me, this isn't really new. I mean, they've been talking about this sample for a long time. The focus on this piece is that it's not from anything known. And I think it's interesting how they say it's not known from any existing military or commercial application. Who's somebody who's been out of the business for years? How would he know what's new or what's current? I mean, yeah, I know you're in the Skunk Works and all, or used to be, but how do you know what's current? It's confusing. The other is that it's followed a documented chain of custody possession for a couple of decades. Yeah, really, it doesn't mean anything. Big deal. So I've had a rock in a box in my closet for 20 years. Does that really, I'll sign it off to the post office and send it to Tom DeLong. Does that mean anything? Not really. One big issue, and this is a couple issues. One issue is that the use of low resolution images of the sample. I mean, really, if this was groundbreaking alien technology, I mean, yeah, you have it. It's in a shoebox, wherever you've got it. They've got it somewhere. Maybe in somebody's locker in the gym. I don't know where it's at. But if you've got a groundbreaking piece of alien technology or something that you think doesn't exist anywhere else, what's the harm in putting up high-resolution images for other people to look at? I mean, wouldn't you want to make sure that no one else could really identify what this is, or at least get an idea of anyone has an educated guess, maybe? Suggestions of what it might be? No, let's just stick the lowest resolution image we can of it so people speculate. I don't know. I don't know. Another issue, and this is kind of bad. This is a black eye, and this is something that I'm very proud that somebody did this, because this is something that I normally do. So they used a purported close-up of this object, and I've seen that picture before, and I should have done this work before, but brilliant. So there's a close-up of this object, and it's in a social media post talking about this made a material from an advanced aerospace vehicle of unknown origin. That's what they say. That's what they say, not me. Well, I just said it, but it's not me saying it originally. However, someone easily traced the image used in the post to a Shutterstock image of the mineral known as malachite. Whoops. I mean, if you're going to talk about having in your possession an advanced piece of alien technology, why would you use an image readily available, readily searchable on Shutterstock? And they altered it too, which I wonder if they'd get in trouble for that. So I wonder if they were trying to dupe people on purpose. Do you think that they didn't know that people would find out, or that were they just using it as like an example? Well, here, we're going to use this mineral in place because we don't want to take a close-up, because we don't want somebody to find out what it is. If nobody else has this thing, what's the harm in putting up a high-resolution image? I don't know. I mean, to me, it seems like something's very fishy about this claim. I didn't like it before when I first heard about it. And I don't know why they're putting this out there as this is something new. It just seems to me this is an attention grab. It's a money grab. And I don't think we're ever going to get really any kind of answers about this technology other than more riddles and more claims without any specific references. This is the kind of thing that is just going to go round and round and round, and no one's going to have any knowledge or information from, or the sample's going to come back. We don't know. This is going to last as long as the To the Stars Academy lasts, which may only be a few years. I don't know. But this is just... I don't know what other word, but ridiculous. This is a circus already, and it's ridiculous. Send it to a metallurgist. There's no way that this material does not exist on Earth. I'm not saying that we know of every metal that exists on Earth, but I'm sure there's elements or trace parts of this that we can identify. And then from there, we could try to figure out what it's from. I mean, why settle it? Why send this off to people that are already on your side? Send it out to independent people. Well, they won't do that, though, because then they're going to get answers back they don't want to hear. This happens all the time. You know, and this is unfortunate. This happens in science, too, where scientists want to keep it in-house. They don't want anybody else to get a hold of things. They're just the people that they know and trust. This is when we run into trouble. And this is really annoying. But, you know, what's going on with ufology? Why is this kind of stuff happening? It just, I don't get it. I don't get it. And these are the people that are taking over. I mean, MUFON's got a black eye and a chip on its shoulder. Shrinking population. So, I don't know. Wait, what am I getting myself into? Who am I calling tonight? I don't know. Oh, Jim Ballard. The Ballard Report. I don't know. I got a TV show to watch tonight. We'll see. Jim Ballard's always got an awesome show. If you're not listening to the Ballard Report, you're missing out. You definitely are missing out. Great show, great guy. And that's my segue to ghost news. Yes, ghost news. I'm so excited. We have not had ghost news on this show, and I don't know how long. And we got a triple threat. Three stories. Not one, not two, but three stories on ghosts. I think it's three. One, two. You know what? I think it's four. Because I think I added one. I did research for you guys. I watched the show. 45-minute show. Just for you guys. Hope you're happy. Anyway, if you're a ghost hunter, paranormal investigator, or what, I don't know what else they're, what else are they calling themselves these days? I don't know. I'm not sure. I always call them ghost investigators, because then I'm getting paranormal investigator and ghost hunter. Some people get mad when you call them ghost hunters. I don't hunt ghosts. I don't shoot them. Or paranormal investigator. Oh, you can't call me investigator, because that's a legal term. Okay, whatever. Ghost investigator. I don't know what to call you. Anyway, if you're into the ghost field, you've more than likely heard of the term lockdown. So a lockdown is basically, locking yourself into a location with a thought. And this is what people think. I don't understand this. So if you lock yourself into place, like a haunted hospital or prison, if you lock yourself in, it's supposed to provide you with the best ghost hunting atmosphere. Well, it doesn't. Sorry, I hate to ruin it. It just kind of puts you in the mental mood, which sometimes is good. But it's still a fun experience. Believe me, I've been to a lot of places, a lot of haunted places. I'm sure everybody in the field has probably taken part in a ghost hunt like that. You know, where you're locked down, you're in a place, you pay a couple grand to just be locked in a place for 3-4 hours. That's insane. You know, just so you know, like 20 years ago, there's a lot of places that are around. I don't know about the rest of the country, but here in Ohio, there's a lot of places that people are shelling out a lot of money to go to, and they used to pay us to go. My, how times have changed. We used to get free pizza. Hey, if you guys come down here, we'll let you crash. You can have pizza. I have the emails to some of these places. Yep. Well, I mean, they shut themselves into locations. So they lock the doors or they go inside and nobody's allowed out except for smoke breaks, of course. Of course. Got to have your smoke breaks every 5 minutes. So, yeah, on the other side of things, so we have the ghost hunts, the lockdowns. You know, think of places like one of my favorite places is Mansfield Reformatory. You have Waverly Hills. You have, you know, all these types of places that people go and lock themselves. They get locked in, basically. Yeah, I mean, you could smoke or go outside or whatever. But on the other side of the paranormal profit coin are the paranormal tours. So this has been a hot thing over the last 5-10 years. People capitalizing on death and death and people dying and, of course, ghosts. And, you know, charging people to tour it and telling fake ghost stories or sometimes maybe true stories about ghosts that occupy places. Now, many of these take place in the same locations where ghost investigators paid to do their lockdowns. So it's kind of dual purpose. You get the people who are hardcore. They want to get locked into these places. And you get the tourists, the people who are probably afraid to do that. But, hey, I want a T-shirt and to brag that I went walk through this place during the day. Or at night with 35 other people and with the lights on. Or at least a torch, flashlight, whatever you call it, wherever you're from. Anyway, in England, not too long ago, just a couple of days ago, well, a lucky few people got both of these experiences at the same time. Both a lockdown and a ghost hunt. I'm sorry, a lockdown and a paranormal tour, all in one, all wrapped up in a pretty little bow. But it didn't turn out really the way they wanted it to. Well, maybe it did. I don't know. So it happened in the Accrington Police Station in Lancashire, England, where a group of people found themselves suddenly trapped in a jail cell. So, yeah, it was in a police station, an old police station, the Accrington Police Station in Lancashire, England. They got locked in a cell. Usually that happens on purpose. I haven't been in jail in a while. Quite a while. I was a Boy Scout. They just did it to scare us. So yeah, they were locked in a jail cell. The group was part of a most haunted experience where people got to go into purportedly haunted locations with part of the crew of the television show Most Haunted. Try to make that sound exciting. I'm not a fan of that either. But the incident started just after midnight, and the people were locked in the cell until just after 3 a.m. 3 hours in a jail cell. That's a long time. My goodness. Whew. Try 12, 15 years. Firefighters and a crew from Urban Search and Rescue had to use a saw to gain entry and free the ghost hunters from the cell. Crew manager Jenny Bryant stated it was not known how the door became locked since it had been set in a position to stop the doors from closing. So, you know, a lot of people are speculating this might have been the work of a ghost. The ghost might have wanted them to stick around a little bit longer than what they had planned. So was it a ghost? Well, probably not. But a mystery that will hopefully be solved or at least kept from happening again. Yes. Very interesting story. Pretty cool. Pretty scary. But from what I hear, the people that were locked in the cell, they felt very comfortable. The people that ran the tour took care of them, gave them water. Like, you're only in the cell for 3 hours. Like, some of us are in jail all day at work, basically. I don't know. But they were very well taken care of and finally let loose off their sentence of 3 hours. And speaking of lockdowns, don't forget the next version, I guess you'd call it, the next version of the television show Ghost Hunters comes your way on August 21st. Wow, it's coming up fast. And it's going to be on the A&E channel now. How weird is that? Ghost Hunters on A&E? So I was able to watch a 45-minute, pretty much a whole entire episode. It's a press cut screener for the episode. So it's a press release, basically. It was shot at the Pocatello High School. And this was this is well-known news. Earlier the month of this month, Idaho State Journal published a story that Pocatello High School was featured in an episode. I think they actually talked about that as far back as June that they were filming there. And it actually appeared, the front of the building appeared in a one-minute teaser that was announced. I should say released a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, it's nothing that nobody didn't know that they were at Pocatello High School. And Pocatello High School has been, now Pocatello itself, what a city. Pocatello, Idaho. It's been in the news for some ghost stuff, various things. I think the high school was actually involved once in a story here on the Paranormal News Insider. I can't remember. There's another place in Pocatello that was also in the ghost news. And Pocatello was also home to a couple of Bigfoot sightings as well. So it's a pretty interesting spot. Maybe Matt Moneymaker will be there. I don't know. All I can say about the episode, I braved it. I watched 45 minutes of it. It's kind of raw. It's not really a finished product. And I wonder what's really going to change. I really am actually looking forward to seeing the final cut, the final episode, to see what they change and see how it evolves. All I can really say is that it's pretty much cut from the same cloth as the original. So if you're a fan of the original Ghost Hunters television show, you're going to like this. It's good. It's kind of dry. I don't think that the people really have that much of an overwhelming personality, which is kind of good. They're not bouncing off the walls and giggling like children and or screaming and yelling and running around or running from anything. So they're kind of calm in that regard, and I kind of respect that. I'd rather have people that are a little bit more grounded than people that seem like they're just actors in a TV show, even though that's what they want. So there are some really good things in the show that I saw and just in this episode. And there's some things that also I kind of yelled at my screen a little bit for. But I guess that's par for the course. I'm a little skeptical of the ghost field. Not really of all paranormal, but you got to be. I think we all need to be at least a little bit more skeptical than a lot of people are. Now, this particular episode seemed to do a pretty good job to debunk. I was kind of impressed by some of the work that was done to debunk things. But at the same time, it was also very quick to hide behind a series of personal subjective incidents that nothing was even looked at. They just took these stories as gospel, and it actually added to the, you know, and they talked about this, that these things, personal experiences are really just thrown out. Yeah, dude, run. But then at the end, they pretty much said, well, these experiences here help tell us that this is real. So I was a little kind of confused and disappointed at that. Like, you say one thing, but then you turn around and say something completely opposite at the end of the show. So I don't know. Maybe a little bit more editing that needs to be done. I'm sure there will be. I'm sure it's not a finished product. But it's interesting to see it take a peek at some of this stuff. I'd really like to see, like, the raw footage of 2 days worth of stuff. Yeah, the old version's better. Probably, I wasn't really a big fan of it. That's not where I got my training. I can tell you that much. And I was really disappointed, too. And again, they probably readjust things when they hear about people like me talking about this. But they really didn't debunk much. They did a little bit. I guess I shouldn't say that. But they did a little bit of it as they were going through. But then the second night. So they did an investigation on one night and came back. They were there from, I don't know what time, till 4-something in the morning. And then the second day, they left at 3 a.m., supposedly. Now, the second night is when they actually had some interviews. They had a local historian they interviewed, and they had an electrician that they interviewed. And, the historian pretty much tore all the stories to shreds. Now, to me, it would have made more sense to have them interview that historian first after hearing all these stories before going in believing all this stuff. That's just me. That's what I would have done. And the electrician didn't really seem to do anything, just made a couple of statements. And the investigators actually kind of I don't want to say tricked him, but the way they asked the question was kind of leading into belief in that a ghost was responsible for lights in a over 100-year-old school that were flickering, and saying, well, it was a ghost that were draining the lights. Well, there's a lot that goes on in a 100-year-old building. And they used a little bit of technology, and they used it incorrectly. The technology is still fooling ghost investigators to this day. Now, they were quick to, there was a little flashlight trickery, but they were quick to say that this isn't the flashlight trick you're used to. This is not the one we're doing. But they still didn't understand what was going on with their equipment. And I think there was a logical explanation to some of this stuff. Supposed battery drains that only happened on the second night, not the first night. Now go figure. You used your equipment for 8 hours. And did you really change the batteries? And how do we know that? How do we know that you didn't or did or what? I'm not sure. It's confusing. It's just all on pure speculation. And to me, the tools always get in the way. But then again, so does the personal stories. So how do you tie the two together? That's the hard part. And that's where this ghost field kind of stumbles. How do we tie all that together? This is a TV show, so they're not looking for true answers. They're just looking for an entertaining story to keep people glued to their seats for 45 minutes, well, really and truly an hour, so they can sell some advertising spots. And hopefully you'll buy a Buick or a GMC. I don't know. Does your Buick have a roof rack? I'm not sure if mine does. Wait, I don't own a Buick. Anyway. So I'm a little disappointed, but it wasn't a horrible show. It wasn't something that I didn't break my TV over. Let's just put it to you that way. It wasn't horrible. There were some positive things from it, but you can't take it too seriously because it is just for entertainment. It's a TV show, and it was rough. I was a little rough cut, so things have probably changed by the time that final episode airs. And again, the all-new Ghost Hunters comes out this fall, August 21st on A&E, and right after that is the new Psychic Kids is going to debut as well, where they're going to go back in time and look at what had happened. They did have some equipment in there. So do I have better ideas for a show? Paranormal show? Absolutely. I got tons of ideas for paranormal shows. One I'd really like to do. So has anyone ever seen... what's that one with the Undercover Boss? This is kind of the premise of this. So Undercover Boss is basically you have a corporation where a CEO or somebody important within the company goes and hides. They get a change their face or whatever. A guy wears dresses as a girl. I don't know what happens, but they disguise their appearance and they go to like the regular levels and try to work as a regular worker. You know, the restaurant workers, you know, they'll go in and wash dishes or work at the distribution plants or whatever. So they go undercover. Sometimes they get busted, sometimes they don't. But anyway, my version of this is take some actual scientists, take some skeptics, give them a little disguise, you change their name to protect the innocent, and have them go work with some of these ghost teams and have some of these ghost teams purportedly try out for a TV show. It would be very easy to sucker any of these guys in and shoot that. And then during that, expose some of the issues going on with ghosts and ghost investigation and how we can do things better to educate the field. That's my take. That's what I would like to see. But probably not going to see that. That's one of my favorite... Gosh, why did I say that on the air? I know it's coming out now this fall. Ghost Busted on the Sci-Fi Channel. An original sci-fi show. And I get no credit for it. Whoops, shouldn't have said that. Oh, well, it is what it is. I'd still like to see it. I'd watch it. So anyway, let's talk about good old buddy pal of mine, Zach Bagans. Not really. We're not pals. I almost crossed paths with him once. Moundsville Prison. They were filming that Paranormal Challenge show, contestant show. the night after, and they had cameras everywhere in that place. It was really disgusting. Anyway, Zach Bagans, you know him, Ghost Adventures fame. He's bought another house. So I'm sure you remember the Gary, Indiana Demon House, a story that we covered quite a bit here on the Paranormal News Insider. He bought and eventually used it for a documentary. Now, at the end of said documentary, Bagans had the house torn down in dramatic fashion. He told the Indy Star at the time, quote, "Something was inside that house that had the ability to do things that I've never seen before. Things that others carrying the highest forms of credibility couldn't explain either. There was something there that was very dark, yet highly intelligent and powerful," unquote. He said that. I didn't say it. That's why the quotes. In reality, the home is actually the target of numerous break-ins, constant vandalism. The home is vacant, and there was locals using it for squatting. So they're breaking and entering and sleeping in the garage and in different floors. It was all wooded. The windows were all covered with wood and all that, but people were still breaking in. The home was vacant, but there was creepy people coming in and out, and they weren't ghosts. Ghost hunters were coming to the house in droves. They were also breaking in. Police were patrolling that area a lot, and it was really an unnecessary use of forces from what I've heard and from what I've read. Also, certainly Bagans was probably given a little less choice in the matter to either do something about it or just get rid of it. And the house was dilapidated. It was falling down at that point from all the people just vandalizing it. But anyway, well, now he's moved on up. Bagans has purchased another piece of grisly history, and he's now put down money on what is known as the Manson Murder House. And what a good time he did. The Los Angeles area home was the site of the Lino and Rosemary LaBianca murders in 1969 by Manson's followers, the Manson family, who were going to put out a Christmas album, from what I heard. Manson tied up the couple and left his followers to do the killing. The murders took place the night after the more famous Tate murders. Very sick, very grisly event. That really captivated and scared California and really the world. It was pretty frightening times. I wasn't really around back then, but from what I read, it was pretty spooky stuff. Bagans had heard the home was up for sale and quickly reacted and made a close to asking offer of the $1.98 million asking price. The 50th anniversary of the gruesome murders in the home is really just over a week away, and the Quentin Tarantino-directed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was just released last Friday, which uses the Manson murders as part of the plot device in the film set in 1969. So what Bagans will do with the home is a mystery, but he claims there is a variety of paranormal claims on the property. So pretty much convinced that this is going to be an investment in a future project or two from him and his buddies. And speaking of ghost adventures, Sci-Fi Wire did an article on the crew from an interview held during the San Diego Comic-Con this year, and I found it strange. It's on sci-fi. I mean, ghost hunters had ruled sci-fi and ghost television for that matter, and Ghost Adventures was pretty much the enemy program, which I thought was weird. I guess it's all water under the crybaby bridge. Well, the article is tactfully titled, "Wanna Hunt Ghosts? The Ghost Adventures guys reveal the one tool you really need." And certainly that headline is going to bring a lot of attention. The piece focuses on the show being geared toward communicating with ghosts. There's a couple of questionable things in the article, though. And while I'm not exactly sure what the context is, Billy Tolly is quoted as saying, quote, "I think a lot of it has to do with intention, personally. If you're a closed-minded individual and you say ghosts do not exist, they won't exist for you. You'll find every single reason why they don't, no matter what experience comes your way," unquote. And I kind of let that sink in for a second. I think, you know, the more I think about it, it's pretty much an ironically very closed-minded thing to say. I mean, do you think it's possible that seeing ghosts everywhere means that you might just be misinterpreting a lot of things around you? I mean, saying being skeptical at any degree is wrong, is absolutely not the right thing to say. I mean, it is healthy to be skeptical about things. If you just run around and believe every noise is a ghost, how is that helping an investigation? How is that helping a client? How is that helping you find the solution to a mystery? It's not. That's not the right thing to say for somebody looked up to in the paranormal field, especially the show. Second, the big piece of technology that you need, I was thinking notepad, a brain, common sense, a book on logic. No, according to Jay Wasley, the show's AV tech, he says, quote, "I think everybody today pretty much has ghost hunting equipment in their pocket. Cell phones, digital recorders. They might not be as great as some stuff, and I don't know what some stuff is, but it's something. If sometimes we're caught in a situation and we're like, oh no, we don't have gear, it's back at base, we pull out our phone. We'll take photos, we'll take video, and we'll record and try to capture evidence. We've gotten evidence through cell phone use," unquote. Oh, yikes. So cell phones are very widely used in the paranormal. I've seen it a lot more now than even 5-10 years ago. Seems like they're the centerpiece sometimes, next to EMF detectors. And for many, they're used for the completely wrong reason, just like EMF detectors are. A lot of people are using apps that are geared toward the ghost field, and pretty much every single one of these, at least every single one that I've ever seen in the field, they're pretty much just for entertainment. I mean, nothing can really track a ghost. If we knew that certain things could track ghosts, I'm pretty sure we would have exploited them a long time ago. We'd force them to appear in court and all kinds of different things, but that's not the case. Some people use EMF detector apps, and I hate to tell you, phones are not equipped with EMF detectors. So these apps are pretty much useless. The big problem I have is glorifying technology as a source of validating ghosts or just personal experiences. I mean, why? It just doesn't work. It doesn't work that way at all, unless you just want to believe everything's a ghost. But they finished the article by saying that they feel technology will eventually allow us to use holograms to allow communication with ghosts, and the technology will allow us to talk to ghosts is really close to being a reality. That's what they said. I'm not sure about that. I don't think that's remotely the case in reality. But who am I to say? I'm not at the forefront of ghost tech. I'm not sure. You know, I think a lot of people are kind of lost with this technology. And some of this stuff just doesn't do what you think it does, even though people will claim otherwise. Radio sweepers, just pareidolia. Stuff just doesn't, it just doesn't work the way you think. It's just basically tricking you into believing that you're hearing things or experiencing things. Unfortunately, not to be cynical, not to be skeptical, I just try to speak the truth. And I've used these things. I've experimented with them. And I can tell you, they don't work. And even if people that swear they do work, how do you know that it's ghosts you're communicating with and not something else? Maybe it's your subconscious you're communicating with. Who knows? But either way, there's got to be something different that we can do out there in the ghost field. There's got to be a different way to navigate this field and to determine what we're seeing or what we're interpreting out there. I think we're looking in the wrong direction. I think we're, instead of looking at ghosts and trying to communicate with ghosts, we really either need to look at the environment or we need to look at ourselves. How and why are we interpreting these things? These are the questions that I would like answered. Not who can come up with the best piece of tech, because really and truly, you can take all that stuff and you can throw it down the stairs and it's not going to make a lick of difference. This is the same stuff that's been going on for over 130 years in the ghost field. Technology has been used back in the 1800s, and all it did was fool investigators into believing things were happening. And really and truly, the same thing is happening now, except instead of psychics and mediums doing it to us, we're doing it to ourselves. I'm just speaking the truth as I know it. And I don't want you guys getting lost in the dark. I'm trying to help, not trying to hinder. And with that, I'll let you know that I'll see you in August. see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. Don't be a true believer, but don't be a hardcore skeptic. You got to be somewhere in between. Trust me. Walk the tightrope. Take my hand. I'll help you. Above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.